Tyson School is saying, everyone has a plan until they get punched in the mouth. And so, you know, I think that's when, you know, when you're in the grind of seminary life and you are in the trenches, it's how well you can audible. How I accomplish that is I cling to 2 Corinthians 12:9, that his grace is sufficient for me.
Welcome back to Roundtable, a podcast produced by Mid-America Reformed Seminary. This is episode 48, and I'm Jared Luchibor. Thank you for joining us. You'll remember last week we had our Director of Enrollment, Brian Blummer, behind the mic. He joins us again this week as he interviews one of our incoming students, a former National Hockey League player turned seminary student, Mr. Michael Wall from British Columbia. I hope you enjoy their conversation as Michael elaborates on his journey to seminary.
Well, thanks, Jared. For our listeners out there, I am with a very special guest this morning. Michael Wall is across the table from me, and if you could see us here in the room, we're arm wrestling across the table. Michael is one of our juniors here, one of our first-year students, and he comes to us. I wrote this down, Michael, so I get it right. Faith Reformed Church of Telqua. Is that right?
You nailed it.
All right. Part of the United Reformed Churches in British Columbia. So for our American listeners way out on the West. But thanks, Michael, for being with me this morning.
My pleasure.
So let's get right into it. We want to talk sort of your path to seminary, but let's start with just the path to faith. You're married to Heather.
Yes.
High school sweethearts,
yeah.
And so I understand you and Heather sort of came to faith relatively later in life. What was that experience, and how have you seen changes in your life in Christ?
Yeah, so Heather and I, we didn't make profession of faith in Telqua, and I was 30 years old, and I won't disclose my wife's age, but...
Good call.
Yeah. So for that experience for us, it started... After watching Paul Washer sermon, the sermon was called Shocking Youth Message. And for me, that was my wrestle. I was 20 years old when I thought I made a profession of faith. I would argue that it was, I confessed Christ as Savior, but not as Lord. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't really understand until I watched that sermon that's exactly what I was. And it was, he preached on Matthew 7 about, I never knew you. Mm-hmm. And so that was me. That was not having that relationship with Christ and understanding that he is not just a Savior, but Lord as well. And that I needed to turn from my, you know, autonomy and look to him for everything that I have. And so for me, that was the turning point in our life. That it was New Year's Eve. We were going to a friend's house, and Heather and I, we were like, we need to ask about church. And we had friends that were attending Telqua Faith, and they were gracious enough to talk with us. And we went, I think it was the following Sunday, we went to church for the first time, and that was an intimidating experience. And so Heather and I, you know, before I get too far into that story, we, you know, kind of grew up with a little bit of a Christian background. We were both baptized Anglican as infants. We I didn't really make what I thought was a profession of faith when I was 20, and you know, lived a life that was confessing Christ as Savior but not Lord. I stopped playing professional hockey because I felt the conflict between that, the tension between Christianity and hockey. I didn't want to be a slave to hockey anymore, but what I didn't understand is that I was still a slave to my flesh. And so that was kind of, I would say, best understanding of that 8 years before, you know, no, that's 10 years of Heather and I, when I first made that profession of faith to, finally making what I believe was a true profession of faith in front of a congregation at the URC in Telqua.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Wow. Praise God for that. And Paul Washer putting a shot across your bow.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's to answer the second part of your question about what, I mean, what's changed. It's everything has changed. Heather and I, we went from two incomes and doing whatever we wanted to, you know, Heather being a stay-at-home mom and crushing that job. And, you know, now we have three kids, and that's been an absolute blessing where we didn't even, kids was not even on our radar. It's not something that we were interested in at all. But it was when we went to Faith Reformed Church and Telco, we understood what it was like, you know, that family aspect and what it was like serving the Lord with a family. It's one of my joys now is waking up every morning to be able to do family worship with the girls and teach them. And it's just, for me, it's such a blessing now that we can do that.
Mm, what a joy.
Mm-hmm.
What a joy. Well, welcome to seminary here. You've got summer Greek under your belt now.
Mm-hmm, done.
Let's kind of talk now about your path to seminary. Mm-hmm. You already mentioned playing professional hockey.
Mm-hmm.
So something I'm finding in this job is there's no one path to seminary.
Mm-hmm.
You're some living proof of that,
mm-hmm.
but every story we go through is different. So there's no one path. Well, what was the path for you to arrive here at Mid-America?
My path to ministry first started with Reverend Folkers handing me a call to preach book like any good Mars alumni would, I think. And he...
John Sinema.
Yes. Yeah. And so for me, that was the starting portal. That's step number one, was actually taking that serious. Hmm. From there, it was always a battle of my abilities and what I thought I had to contribute and how I thought they were deficient. And it wasn't until I read Exodus and looked at Moses and what, you know, he had the same complaints that mm-hmm. I had, and that God doesn't always use a perfect vessel to accomplish his tasks. And the academic start part of it was intimidating. I come from a sports background. So, you know, school to me was not even remotely on my radar whatsoever. You know, the time I was, as far as long as I can remember, I always had a joy and love for sports, and that's something that I always wanted to do. But for me, that was another wrestling question I had, is would I be able to tackle the academic portion of this call to ministry, mm-hmm. right? There's going to be lots of reading. And as I grew in along in those catechism classes with Reverend Folkerts, those were a blessing to kind of understand a little bit more of what it meant to have knowledge of the Word and Christ and what's Christ done for us. And that's kind of set my, you know, a second step was having a love for the Word and learning about theology and apologetics and church history and, you know, just those kind of things where before that was nowhere near an interest of mine whatsoever. Reading a book, I think maybe in high school, I would say maybe I finished one or two books, and it was because it was not what I wanted to do mm-hmm. at all. Yeah. And so that was probably step two. And that's when I think I started to think a little bit, hey, maybe I have the aptitude for this and I can do this. And I think one of the other things that I really needed to cultivate was a love for people. And I started to cultivate that as a deacon. When I became a deacon, then I realized what it meant to serve as a church, in a church. And for me, that was understanding the love of people, that, you know, I'm not going to be up there every Sunday just pontificating from the pulpit, that, you know, I want to have a deep love for people and helping them apply the rich truth that is the gospel to their lives and so they can understand. And so for me, that was step number three, four, you know, at this point, I'm kind of dipping my toe in the water and, you know, thinking about it. And Heather's on board at this point, too. We, you know, we come from a different perspective, too, where, you know, we kind of front loaded our life with all these activities. And now we're just excited to really want to serve the Lord. So at this point, you know, I've got Heather on board. We're excited to go. And Joel Urbicki, who was influential for me with regards to his family worship book, and that was helpful because we come from an unbelieving background, and, you know, I have kids now. How do I raise them according to the Word? And so that was really important for me. And he was in Smithers at a family worship conference, And he was preaching or teaching on the covenant, and he had a whiteboard up there, and he drew lines of, you know, people in the covenant, and there's people outside of the covenant, and him bringing people inside the covenant. And that was kind of the push over the edge that I needed. And I was like, wow, this is what the Lord's done for me. He's brought me outside here where I had no, you know, I was fully content, not serving him, not loving him. And for me, that really just, it just clicked then. And, you know, it was, I almost got emotional just because that's when I realized, like, this is what the Lord's done for me. So, you know, if I, you know, send me anywhere now, Lord, because I just want to follow you and be in service of you. And then, so that's where I, again, had that conversation with Reverend Folkerts, and he, you know, was a very encouraging, and he was always that process, and the elders at Intelqua too helped me along with that process. And then, you know, applied. And then fortunately for you guys, I mean, not for you guys, but for me, that I am allowed to be here, because I knew I come from, you know, unique circumstances. So I think, you know, maybe it's not, my journey was just different, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm extremely fortunate for every door that the Lord's opened for me. And I'm so happy that I can be here and learn more about him, so that I can go wherever he sends me to teach others about him too.
Yeah. So I guess that's just it, right? I mean, a lot of the particulars of people's stories tend to change, but those trends are always there. The ones that, and I'm glad you brought them up, starting with a booklet, even like Reverend Sinema's book, and then doing that self-searching, going on to trying out your gifts, right? And finding you enjoy them, and finally getting your life in order. That's really good. And we're glad to have you. So
glad to be here.
And I just got to thinking that conditioning in athletics is probably a little different than conditioning here at seminary, maybe with a Vantil in your hand now, or maybe it's not all that different. Are you already sensing some highs and lows to the challenges of the seminary, and how are you handling those?
So I don't try to focus on the highs and lows. As a professional athlete before, right, you never want to be never too high, never too low, always even keel. And I think for me, if I want to steal a mantra from the Navy SEALs, that the only easy day was yesterday. And that's what I want to try to take into every day on my Christian pilgrimage through sanctification, is that I may have easy days, but that's not my expectation. My expectation is going to be, you know, grinding, and that there has to be, when I can focus on that, I can I'll have a better understanding when suffering comes and trials and tribulations come. And I think for me, that's, as an athlete, helped me in that journey, is here I have a unique perspective because I lived outside the fence and now I'm inside the fence, and I can take what I've learned playing hockey and the anxiety you have trying to figure out your worldview apart from Christ is, can be a mentally draining thing. But now everything I do, I have Christ, and it just makes things a lot easier. Not that every day is going to be easy, like I said, but that I have someone there that, you know, it's always going to be my comfort and my guide and knows me better than I know myself. So every, you know, it's, as we learned in Greek, about the irregularities of the Greek language, that it's for my sanctification, right? And that's just, that's Dr. Miniger, and that's, you know, just a short summary of what Romans 8:28 is, right? I mean, all things work together for my good, and that's part of my sanctification to make me more like Christ. And so when I hear the high and low question, I always want to be in the lows, because that's where all the work gets done, and that's what's going to conform me to the image of the Christ more so than the highs. But to answer, I guess, your question more directly, that there is definitely highs and lows, you know, and that's what Heather and I really used Summer Greek for, was to kind of iron out the kinks, because we, you know, academic life hasn't been something for us. Now, the Lord has granted me with a wife who all understands athletics. She was an athlete herself. So she understands kind of my drive and where that's coming from. And I think for her, I told her, I was like, I'm the one, you know, signing the top of my test, but the score is something we've achieved together. And so for us, I think, you know, we take that drive as us both being athletes and trying to accomplish that goal. Now, we can try our best to iron out the kinks, and have a plan or an SOP for all our, how we're going to tackle seminary life. But, you know, it's Mike Tyson's school is saying, everyone has a plan until they get punched in the mouth. And so, you know, I think that's when, you know, when you're in the grind of seminary life and you are in the trenches, it's how well you can audible. Yeah. You know, when you see the defense stacking up and they're, you know, you want to make an audible, are you able to make that call, right? When that fire comes, it might not be what you drew up, but, you know, you got to make an audible to try to overcome those problems. And how I accomplish that is I cling to 2 Corinthians 12:9, that his grace is sufficient for me. Mm. And we've talked about a little bit about my story and how academics was something on my background. And yeah, I mean, you can make the case that maybe, like I said, you have skills that are, that I was using for my selfish desires and now for seminary. But I think for me, I know what I was and I know what I would be apart from God's grace in my life. And I think that, for me, I cling to that hope of that his grace is sufficient for me and that he'll uphold me through this process and that, you know, a prayerful dependence on him will be, will not just help me through the process, but will enrich in that bond between me and Christ that will help me overcome any obstacle I have.
That's so good. And I think we're going to trust that none of the faculty give you that Mike Tyson punch in the face there. So, but let's scan the landscape a little bit, just as sort of wrapping this up. You're brand new here. You have one summer done. As you look ahead, is there anything that you're most looking forward to, either in the fall semester coming up or the years that are ahead?
Yeah, I think for me, like I talked about, that process of sanctification, the growth is probably what I'm looking most forward to, is what a sermon will look like year 1 to year 3 and how much I'll grow in the understanding of the scriptures, especially now, even just with the summer of Greek under my belt, it's so much more enjoyable opening up the scriptures and having a little bit more knowledge about what's going on in there. And so my growth is personally, that's what I'm looking forward to learning from the professors. There's a lot more wisdom here than I've ever been around. One of the attributes I think that made me successful in hockey was being pliable and letting others influence and share and being able to not be stubborn in that I know the way already, that I'm just here for certification, that I can accomplish my goals, but that, you know, I'm pliable and that they can help mold me into becoming more like Christ. And I think for me, that's what I'm looking forward to the most, is that process of sanctification. I think with Mars, the MAP program is so awesome to be able to summer assignments. I'm already looking forward to that. It's nerve wracking. It'll be my first time, you know, serving a church in that capacity. It'll be a little bit nerve wracking, but they're going to equip me to be able to tackle that task. And so, and then, you know, from there, if we want to go further down the road, just the excitement. These last 5 years are any indication of what our life will be like in Christ, that, you know, it excites me to who knows where we're going to be if, God calls us to a mission or a church or whatever the task may be, teach, who knows. It's always exciting knowing that he has a perfect plan, that his plan is perfect, and that we don't have to worry, that it's all going to be for our sanctification through the highs and the lows, as you said, right? It's for our sanctification, and that's, for me, it's an exciting process where, we can be a part of that plan that he uses, a tool like me, from a place that's 40 hours away, an ex-professional hockey player that he wants to use me to help accomplish his goals for his will. And for me, that's, I think, what excites me the most.
This has just been so rich, so good to be able to sit down with you. I think there's a lot of encouragement that our listeners can take from this time, whether they're a supporter of our seminary or even thinking about being a student here. So I think it's a good reminder, too, for our, listeners to be praying for, not only our incoming class, certainly, but our whole student body that's going to be returning here.
Absolutely. Prayers are powerful, and we definitely need them. That was something I learned through Summer Greek, too, is a prayerful dependence on the Lord. It's a wonderful thing. You know, I would, for my wife, even something my kids enjoyed doing. Daddy has a big exam today. We need to be praying for Daddy for his exam.
Well, it's good. You're doing it here on the ground, and we'll have lots of people around the world now being reminded to keep that up for you. So thanks for joining me today.
Thank you. My pleasure.
That was our Director of Enrollment, Brian Blummer, facilitating a discussion with current junior student Michael Wall from British Columbia. Well, next week we start something a little unique to the podcast. Here at Mid-America, there's a book in the works, a compilation of Christ-centered sermons given by our faculty here in the Chapel of Mid-America. So we thought we'd give you a sneak peek and showcase a couple of these sermons for you. First up is Dr. J. Mark Beach with a word from the Book of Judges. For more podcast episodes, you can find us on our website at midamerica.edu/podcasts, YouTube, and wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. Be sure to search Mid-America Reformed Seminary's Roundtable. I'm Jared Luchbor. Till next time.